This is Let's Talk Big, the big read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College campus big read is taking place now and throughout the semester, with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The campus read book is A Little Less Broken, How an Autism Diagnosis Finally Made Me Whole by Marion Shambari. It's the story of one woman's decades-long journey to a diagnosis of autism and the barriers that keep too many neurodivergent people from knowing their true selves. Now, sharing passages, topics, and events related to the book are Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jen Hazel.
Welcome to Let's Talk Big, everyone. I'm Jen Hazel. I have with me Jane Berger and Angie McGinnis, our manager of Career and Transfer Services. So, Jane, is this our first episode back of the fall?
Welcome back.
We're so excited. Yes, and I'm sure you've missed us.
Absolutely.
Everybody out there in our watching world. It's been a long summer, and I'm really eager to get back. I love this theme that we have for our next academic year, neurodiversity. It is a theme that touches everyone, so the opportunities will be great. And the fun thing is, while the big read has always been fun, we have kind of spiced it up and changed it up a little bit to make it even more exciting, more interesting for everybody. So.
Well, yeah, after year five, and this will mark the fifth season of podcasts.
I know, right?
Fifth season of Let's Talk Big.
Okay, all listeners out there and viewers and all of that, we're going to hit the million view mark this year. I just know it.
I think you're right. We will also this year hit the 100th episode. So we'll have to do a very nice celebration about that.
Exactly.
But with that, let's get started because we have Angie here.
Yes.
So, wait, do you want to introduce our book? It might be helpful if we introduce our book because I don't think we've done that yet.
We have not. All right. So as I said, our theme is neurodiversity, and the book that was voted on by our campus community is A Little Less Broken, How an Autism Diagnosis Made Me Whole by Marion Shambari. She will be here for a visit like we always have in April of 2026. It's a very readable book, and honestly, I could just turn to any page and say, oh, let's talk about that. And now I'm waiting for the question that is my favorite question in all podcasts, Jen.
Jane, do you have a passage?
I do. All right. This one, since obviously it's our first, we're going to start at the beginning. Later that year, the assistant principal knocked on our classroom door and whispered to Mr. Bacon, who met my eyes and waved me over. Can you please go with Mrs. Ross? The class turned their attention to me, and a flush crept its pink fingers up my neck. I scuttled after Mrs. Ross down the long hallway, which was dim and quiet except for the squeaking of my shoes and the muffled laughter behind the closed door of the talented and gifted room. We turned into her office. She flicked on a humming fluorescent light. I took a seat across from her desk. A sinking feeling gnawed at me, but I couldn't remember what I'd done wrong. If I kept my face neutral, maybe the universe would deliver something innocuous, like a missed permission slip. Or maybe my teachers had realized I was brilliant and should be blowing kids. For a long, squirmy moment, Mrs. Ross looked at me, eyes narrowed, as if waiting for a confession. I stared at a snag in the carpet. Did you call another student a rich bitch, she finally asked. What to say? That everyone called him that? That he lived in an even bigger mansion than everyone else right on the water? That I literally knew nothing else about him except that the other kids called him Rich Bitch instead of his name? That one day I said it to his face as if it was his name, not really understanding you're not supposed to do that? I never quite understood why we couldn't say exactly what we thought. I studied the carpet snag, a gray loop standing at attention. Look at me, said Mrs. Ross. My eyes snapped to hers, but it felt like a dissonant chord. How long did I have to hold this? I counted the seconds as they passed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I flicked my eyes back to the snag. Before I could answer, she placed both palms on her desk as if she were about to push herself up and said, Marion, you are the worst kid in fourth grade. worst kid in fourth grade. Worse than Ollie, who deliberately threw kickballs at our heads during recess? Worse than the Katies, who cornered me in a closet? I wish I could remember what else she said or why she thought I was the worst kid out of 100, but I left her office sure of one thing. I was broken. Something inside me was inherently flawed and unlovable. The unspoken dynamics of my teachers and my family and my peers would never click into place. I would have to fake it. Can you imagine? I'm broken. That hit me.
I'm the worst kid in the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And whether or not Mrs. Ross even tempered her conversation with Marianne with, you know, you've done well this year, anything positive, that one sentence is the one that would stick, because that's just, I think, who we are as humans. What do you think? I mean, what would you do if that were you, and you were Marianne in the fourth grade? I mean...
Yeah, I don't think people realize sometimes the power of their words, especially when we're speaking to a child who doesn't have our life experiences and our wisdom. And I remember fourth grade vividly, and I was in the TAG program too. And I had my little diary where I wrote things down, and you know, something so insignificant had such a huge impact. And I'm just thinking how sad for this poor young lady to hear that. And you're right, there was no teachable moment in that. There was no learning. Like, hey, maybe you didn't realize, but you know, here's the expectations.
Right.
You know, the fourth grade Marianne needed coaching. You know, we're not all born with the knowledge of exactly what we're supposed to do in all situations.
Well, especially how old are you in fourth grade?
Nine, 10?
Yeah. So really, a 10-year-old, I know adults who don't know, you know, what to do in certain situations, let alone being a child who is looking to an adult to be their mentor, not someone to tear them down.
Yes.
Right. Well, and you're assuming that, and Angie, you pointed on this, that everyone comes with the same playbook. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you're also assuming that, or you're making an assumption that every family has been able to help every child know the social norms. Because really what we're talking about here is that Marianne isn't clued in on the social norms.
Right, right.
And knowing now what Marianne knows, being diagnosed with autism at age 34, all those pieces come together and it makes sense for her now. Mm-hmm. But in reality, she's like, and this is, you know, throughout the book, we're just here in the beginning, she just lays the foundation for how she doesn't feel. Like, really, one of the things I gathered from her was that she doesn't feel like everyone else.
Right.
She feels, why don't I know or understand these things that other people seem to know?
Right.
And this is a case in point of it, and it's also a case in point of sometimes, and I understand, like, you know, you're with kids all day, it can be, like, hard, you can be frustrated.
Yes.
But even that in frustration is not acceptable and not okay, because what she internalized for a whole part of her life. Like,
she
wrote
10.
This memoir, and this is the first chapter
of
the
memoir. That's exactly what I thought. Obviously, this left a very significant impact and not a positive one.
Right.
She's still reflecting on this 25 years or so later.
Right,
exactly.
And, like, literally, she's like, she remembers the teacher's name. She remembers, like, Ollie's name. She remembers all these names of people and in grave detail what happened.
Oh yeah, I mean, same thing. Fourth grade must have been like a pivotal year in our
so.
Lives. Miss Venatelli, that was mine.
Mine was Kessler.
See? Oh, I know where.
Yes, exactly.
I was getting ready to come here today, and I was up at the information desk in the library, and one of my student workers said, "Well, do you have a book for the Big Read? Tell me more about the Big Read."
Mm-hmm.
And he is in like a supply chain management track.
Yeah.
So this is not anything that's on his radar.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told him, what the goal of our Big Read is, how many years we've been doing it, what some of our themes have been, and what our theme is this year. And, you know, and told him, you know, showed him the book and talked a little bit about it. And he said, I love what you're doing. He's from Pakistan, mm-hmm. and he said, in my country, things like this still don't exist. There are no acceptable mental health issues. Mm-hmm. He said, I believe that there are really mental health issues. I said, mm-hmm. that you are right. He said, I think this is so helpful and so good, and especially for me, who's not used to being able to mm-hmm. say, wow, I know somebody who has this, and that's okay that they're different, because you just don't talk about it. So that was a different angle. I never considered international students mm-hmm. and where they come from and what their culture dictates to be acceptable or all right to.
Existing.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, I really love that you do this. I'm like, oh, thank you. I'll let you know when all of the events are.
Well, there's so awesome. Many biases towards neurotypical, you know, the I'm thinking about, because I'm in career services, about interviewing, you know, you have to make the eye contact and you have to shake hands and mm-hmm. you have to talk about yourself while five random strangers are staring at you the entire time. And it doesn't come naturally mm-hmm. to people. Doesn't mean they couldn't be a great employee or yep. a great student or a great whatever,
yep.
but we're judging them based off of a very narrow set of criteria that doesn't fit for a lot of people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree. 100%.
Yeah, and that, I'm sure that becomes like a challenge when you try to work with students and to help them, because mm-hmm. that is the social norm.
Mm-hmm.
But that social norm is very difficult. One of the things that Marion talks about when she gets her diagnosis, which is in the prologue part, when she talks about that, is she talks about once it was like she said I don't remember if it was a psychologist or a medical doctor who she saw, but once they told her that, it was like she felt relaxed and was like, I didn't start looking at her because I was like, okay, you see me for who I am.
Yep.
Like as soon as the words autistic came out, she was like, okay.
Yep.
And was just like, I can feel the way that I truly am.
Yep.
This is fascinating. Angie, I almost want to have you back to talk more about some of the things how you work with this, and maybe work with employers too, or how students communicate this through interviews, that they may be neurodivergent and these things mm-hmm. are hard for them, but they would be a great employee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be super interesting, but we have to cap it up for today. I know, Jane. We have
ready to go.
But it has been fabulous, and this was such a great opening passage to start these with. On behalf of myself, Jane, and Angie, keep talking big.
This has been Let's Talk Big. Catch Let's Talk Big anytime on the RSS feed or the Owens Outcome Plus YouTube channel. Be sure to like and subscribe. Join us again for Let's Talk Big, the big read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel.